Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Previously on the VFN Radio program.
You know, I want Steve to talk about, you know, we just had a man barricading in his house saying he was going to, you know, end his life because of all the pressures taking place. We had all these things that are happening, but just tell us, you know, from a perspective of what you're seeing firsthand.
Well, I was
without any details.
Right. At work recently, you know, someone came up and while talking to him, you know, it just a lot of things just started unraveling to him. And as we were talking, and I just gave him the bill, and it was just all of a sudden just that in itself was just the hay that broke the proverbial camel's back.
You didn't really know that he was coming to the end of himself, that his gods were falling, everything he depended on,
that he previously
all of
looked
his
to.
Trust. And so all it took was a simple thing like a bill,
right?
More than what he thought it was going to be, and this guy lost it.
Yeah,
I mean, he lost it. We're talking. We're not talking a $10,000, but we're talking, a little bit of extra money on the bill. But because everything's crashing, so what did he do at that point?
So as we were continuing to talk, he just said, you know, the benefits are falling apart. You know, they're telling me that the benefits are going to be taken away, and then just started talking about those that were ungrateful in his life for what he's doing for them. He's just like, you know, I just can't do it anymore. You know, nobody's grateful for what I'm doing. You know, people are just kind of, just speaking against me, and I'm doing everything I can. And he's just like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. If you need to go somewhere else to find what you need, then go ahead. And it just sounded like just a lack of hope. Like
he told his wife that, hey, you know, you need to go find you someone else. I mean, everything that was making demands of him, he just wanted to stop it.
Exactly.
Because he felt just all of his gods, everything that he depended on. Mm. You know, we say we're Christians, but the question is, who is our God?
Right.
That's right.
Who is our God? When we find out who our God is when things start to fall apart, do we still have a relationship with God? Or do all of a sudden we're throwing our hands up? Do we only serve God as long as our provision is there?
Right.
And the thing is that that's what we found out. Provision was our God, but God wasn't our God.
Right.
That's
so significant because you really see how many people are following God and for many aren't aware of it. It's just like Christian means Christ follower. And you will find out very quickly if you're following Christ when all of a sudden something else is taken away from you and that just causes an uproar or an upheaval in your life. And it takes humility to acknowledge this. It's like, okay, God, I'm following something apart from you because my life is showing it. Because if it was taken away from me and I'm following you, it doesn't matter if it was taken away from me. And a lot of things are being taken away in America. Mm. And people are finding out that they might say it, but very few people are following Jesus. And that is the perspective. That's the paradigm that we have to get, is that we might understand and realize that Christian means Christ follower, and many are saying they are Christians, but the reality is very few are following Jesus Christ.
That's it, and it's just the beginning of that taking place, and that's why when we're talking about, you know, honoring God with his tithes and offerings, it has nothing to do about money. It has to do about your heart, and you want to practice now doing that so you can trust God when you have increase or you have decrease, when you have a job or you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know that God's going to provide for you. Now's the time to do it, you know, before, and get your feet wet now, you know.
That's
and,
right.
You know, we're going to, we'll figure it out, but get them wet now. Mm-hmm. And hearing the voice of the Lord and walking in dependency to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And be ready too, to be a witness. He said that when a great storm happens and great destruction or disaster is happening, he said, people will look at you as a believer and they'll say that you are, that they're going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Because but you're going to be saved, and that by God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. But also it means that's the point. You don't go, hey, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to say, you can have God too. Right. You won't let them know you can turn to God. I know that's what you were telling him.
Right.
You know that when he started talking to the man, you know, who and you know, we've all been at that point where you're just kind of losing it in the context, and you're not making sense because the enemy's attacking you from every angle. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a military dude. He fought for our nation. I mean, that alone, when you come back to America, who didn't even know you were fighting,
exactly.
Much less,
well, appreciate yourself.
Yeah, much less the fact that when they do find out, they don't even recognize it as a man of valor,
mm-hmm.
you right. know, and they don't no, honor no. it, you yeah. know, and then top that off with all the financial and economic pressures. And they've been trained with guns. You know, you want to figure this thing out, you know? And so that's what, you know, you begin to pray for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And just share with him the process, because I am you. I know right where you're at. And just share with him my transition and my journey coming out of the military. And it was just like, I was at the very same moment and almost ended my life and took the life of someone else. But God stepped in. A God that I did not know stepped in and revealed himself to me when I cried out to a God that I didn't know, and all of a sudden made me aware that what I was looking to, which I thought was important, was not important.
Mm.
And the reality is too, is just that you might not know that there's a God that loves you, but the reality is there is a God, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he wants to know you. And you can call out to him just like I did, and just like I was telling this man, you can call out to him.
You didn't even know God.
No, I didn't. It's like
God knew you, didn't he?
Exactly. The life that I lived, I wanted nothing to do with God. I was looking to everything in the world. I wanted what I wanted. And when I and this is what he was sharing with me, is just like, you know what? I just don't understand. I've told God what I want, and he won't give it to me. He won't give it to me. And it's just like it was never about what we wanted. It's what God wants, and the things that he wants for us is far greater than anything that we could ever want. What the world could ever give us, what God has for you through his son, Jesus Christ, is greater. Mm-hmm. And you can call out to him right now and just say, Jesus, I've looked to everything. I've looked to my job. I've looked to my benefits. I've looked to my marriage or just whatever. And just give it to Jesus, that weight, that burden, that stress, that constant tension, feeling like you're about to explode.
Yeah.
You can give that to Jesus.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He took it. He took all of that weight, all of that burden, all of that pressure. He took it so you don't have to. You can call out to him right now and just say, this is me. I feel like I'm going to explode. I'm going to explode on somebody if something doesn't change in my life.
Right.
And just say, you know what, Jesus? Please take this burden right now. Just take it off of me. Just take this. I just give it to Jesus right now, and I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. I just repent for looking to all of this. I repent for looking and expecting and demanding and complaining when I didn't get it. God, just take it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just ask him to come into your life right now.
Yes.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
You can go to meetmyfather.org right now, and we'll help you on that journey. Yes, meetmyfather.org. And we share with you a couple of our stories. Mm. And we want to make Father God known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Meetmyfather.org.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
So we're actually coming back, and I wanted to share still God's news behind the news with our VFN radio listeners, and welcome you for joining us this morning. But, you know, I shared some statistics last week just regarding just where much of the church has been, according to George Parner poll. But I just actually saw a new poll, Pat, a new poll that was done by the Christian Lifeway Research, and they surveyed 2,400 Protestants. And what their study was about transformational discipleship, and what they found was that according to their results, that 19% of the respondents said that they read the Bible outside of their church services, their gatherings, okay, every day. Only 19% of believers read their Bible every day. And that 18% rarely or never. Rarely. So almost 40% of believers that are not reading the Word of God daily. And you know, I think that that's troubling. That's you know,
very troubling.
Yeah, it's troubling. But oftentimes, I think that you know, we have failed. There's so many things that are vying for people's attention these days. I mean, you look at the iPads, you think about the iPhones, you think about the tablets, you think about the internet. I mean, if you don't set time to spend with God, there are so many distractions today that were not, you know, available to our grandparents' generation. Right. I mean, my grandmother, she's 92. She looks at a computer, she's like, what is that? Uh-huh. And you're like, look at this video. She's like, She's like amazed.
All right.
She has no grid for it.
Yeah.
Zero. And they didn't have those type of distractions to pull them away. Mm-hmm. And it's not to make any excuse, but because we are aware of those distractions, they rob us, believers, of the opportunity, if we allow it to spend time with God daily. Right. And we don't spend time with God because we got to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ask the average believer today, well, do you read your Bible? Yeah, well, yeah, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. And it's like, really? Mm-hmm. It's what we get to do.
Right.
We just need to flip. That's not what we got to do. It's what we get to do, that every day we get the opportunity to have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may never speak to maybe a high government official or the president or whoever, you know. You may not ever have access with, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm. And I want to talk about the Word of God today. You know, the Word, I said before that it's not an outdated book. It's the living book. You know, it's relevant today, and God's speaking, and it's His love letter to us.
Right.
Hebrews 4:12 says, Pat, that for the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God is living and active. It's the only book that comes with the author. You know, the Holy Spirit wrote the book through men, you know, but it's the only book that the author's present. If you're a believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit is present in your life, and He's the one that actually reveals His Word, reveals the Word to you. It's living, and it's active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to even dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And get this, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Mm. We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about God's Word. And when we sit down with God's Word, when we sit down, we often talk about abiding. And abiding is simply sitting down and reading God's Word and listening to what God would have to say. Maybe a scripture will seem to kind of, maybe we often say jump off the page. It literally doesn't jump off the page, but maybe just you're reading something and all of a sudden just your attention is drawn to that one verse or those two verses that you read, or maybe even a word.
Right.
And you just kind of pause. And maybe you'll journal that down in a journal. You know, you take time to mark out what it is that in God's Word that penetrated, that spoke to you. And if God's giving you a direction and you want to follow it, if He's giving you a warning, you definitely want to obey it. If He is reaffirming His love to you, you certainly want to accept it. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's so multifaceted, and God's Word speaks to you on so many different fronts, and it allows us to know God and experience God. In fact, John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. I mean, God and the Word, Jesus. I mean, they're just one. It's in a beautiful dynamic that the Word of God became flesh.
Right.
And so we get a chance, Pat. We get a chance. Not I got to, but I get to. Because we heard something yesterday in regards to love, and hopefully we'll get a chance to discuss it today, Pat. It was just a great, great message that we heard, and Greg shared it. It was wonderful in regards to loving God on His terms with all of our heart. And one of the things that he said was so dynamic is that lovers work harder than workers for God.
That's right. And
when you love God, when you love God and your heart is stirred for Him, you're not reading the Bible because you got to, but you're reading because you get to. You want to know. You want to be aware of what He is saying. You want to know what the Word of God is for you that day.
Right.
I mean, people read newspapers. Sometimes people are tempted to read all types of different things to get them life and direction. Let me tell you, there's nothing like the Word of God to give you direction in your life. Mm-hmm. No horoscope, no fortune in a what do they call those crackers?
Yeah.
Fortune cookies. None of those things can give you direction.
Mm-mm.
There's no hocus pocus. I mean, this is the Word of God. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says that every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. That every word of God is flawless. When you think of the word flawless, you think about having no defects.
Mm-hmm.
Think about diamonds. Right. Think about do they have any flaws,
mm-hmm.
Or anything like that. Or it's perfect. It's without error.
Mm-hmm.
It's without error.
Right.
It's flawless. God's word is flawless. And I've been seeing that one of the ways that we can grow in our relationship with God, and one of the ways that we can grow in knowing Him and experiencing Him is when we sit down and actually read His word.
Right.
We actually read it. I mean, if sometimes you look at people's diaries and we look at what George Washington did and we look at all these different people, they've accomplished all these things, and you wonder, what did they say? What was their last letters? You care because you want to know. I mean, God's word speaks to us in so many different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to know. I see that many times, there's all sorts of reading materials. Now you have iPads. Man, you can get books galore, e-books.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's no short access to books these days. There's no short access to information.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I forget
that. Information overload.
Tell me about it. I mean, it's like everywhere you go, they're creating tablets just for you to read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just so they can download an e-book. Forget having to go buy a book. It's just like digital, instant, instant.
Right.
And so they often have, suggested reading materials. And what's interesting about the Word of God, we're talking about the flawless Word of God. Listen, it's a highly suggested reading material.
Yeah.
If you're a believer, it's highly suggested that you read the Word. And it's so important that we take that chance. When you look at the Bible, though, and you think about amazing how it even came to pass. Pat, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible was written over 1,500 years, over 40 generations, 66 individual books from Genesis to Revelation, written by 40 different authors, from fishermen to poets to statesmen, to shepherds, written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and the Greek, and you find Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. I can tell 20 people in a room one thing and have them whisper it ear to ear to ear, and by the time it gets to the 20th person, it is a different statement than what I told the first person.
That's right.
And you're going to tell me it's a coinkydink that over 1,500 years, 66 different books. This is now with no different emails, and then they couldn't send, this is what I wrote, 500 years ago. I want you to keep this,
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is found from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Think about that circulation. There has been more copies of the Bible produced than any other book in history. God's word is flawless. How is it that this book, this living book, still is so relevant and speaks to our lives situation every single day? It's timeless. There's been more evidence, more scientific and historical evidence to prove that that even, you know, genealogies and things about the Bible, than some of the oldest books that are being taught in all these colleges and universities.
Right.
No other book. Listen to this. The Bible has outlasted many people's attempts to ban it, burn it, and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get rid of the Word of God.
No.
I mean, it's like, catch a clue. Wait a minute. Hold, let's stop the press. Let's when we look back and realize that maybe it's not precious. You know, one of the things that we're living in such a blessed land, mm-hmm, is that, you know, in some Christian homes, we may have 5, 6, 7, 10 Bibles. I mean, with so many Bibles out today, I mean, I don't even remember 10 years ago, you can get a Bible in any other color but black. You know what I mean? And if you really got fancy, maybe you got one in maroon. I mean, but don't get crazy now, you know?
Right.
But in the last 10 years, you can get it in pink cover, blue covers, leather. I mean, they even have a metal Bible. Metal, you know, the outside cover of it, rather. You know what I'm saying? It's
case,
like,
yeah,
something for teenagers, I guess. But they have children's Bibles, women's Bibles, men's Bibles, you know, and just different perspective. And the Bible's the Word of God. But when they say they have different versions, just different things that cater to, you know, little extra little things that would minister, encourage, you know, the men in the Bible, or encourage ladies in the Bible, or children, rather, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
And with so many Bibles available to us today, you would think that our everyone would be reading it even more.
Yeah.
And it's still relevant. I mean, this is not about vain philosophies, but about real truth.
Mm-hmm.
No book has been more scrutinized. No book has been more challenged, yet it still remains true, because it's living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. I encourage you that even Jesus said, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that we've got to be a people that live out of the abundance and the overflow of spending time with God. And, you know, people, there's reasons. I mean, I can understand. There's reasons why, you know, people sometimes have a desire, believers have a desire to spend time and read God's word, but they have challenges. You know, one challenge is that they just don't understand. Maybe you got a version, and it's in maybe 1611 or just an older version where they don't speak that type of, you know, language today. I want to encourage you. You know, you can get an NIV version Bible that many people are reading, and that's a version that's maybe more in everyday language that you can understand. But I can get that. If you don't understand, it's kind of, you know, we don't speak with thou, owl, you know, thou art and all that. You know?
Right.
I get it. And then oftentimes people are like, I don't know where to start. Someone told me to start in Leviticus, and I'm in my 10th chapter of laws right now and dietary diet. So I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just don't have a plan and you don't know where to begin. And then you say, you know, I don't have a time. I don't have a place. I don't have a, you know what? I encourage you that if you have a set time, if you have a set place, if you have a Bible that you can understand, you can put yourself in a position to spend time with God on a daily basis. And you can take a 6-week challenge. You take a 6-week challenge and say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to read God's word. I am going to abide. I mean, there's people taking challenges every day. I'm going to lose 5 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to save more money. We're going to go on vacation. And we're going to set a Christmas club. Take a 6-week challenge to spend time with Jesus. Spend time in his word. I'll never forget this statement. I was in college, Pat, and I was reading some book. And the author was this kind of like business book or something. And the author said, what is the one thing that you're not doing today, the one thing that you're not doing that if you started doing every day would revolutionize and change your life?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't remember anything else about the entire book, but that one statement, and I'm telling you, it was like a bomb that just went off in me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, that is so profound. Could there be such a thing?
Right.
Could there be such a thing that if it was just one thing that I focused on doing every single day of my life would revolutionize and change my life. Mm-hmm. And instantly, Pat, I heard in my mind, uh-huh, I bet if you read the Bible, I bet I change your life.
Yeah.
I bet if you read the Bible. And it, that was just the beginning for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the beginning. And I'm telling you that I've been on a journey, others have been on a journey of reading God's word, listening to what he has to say,
mm-hmm,
honoring it by writing it down, and further honoring it, the word of God, by obeying what it says.
Right.
And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You can live this dynamic walk with God. You can have an awesome relationship with him because he cares about you. You as an individual, you have access to him. But if you need a simple plan, if you need a simple plan to get started, that the main thing is just to get started. Just to take the first step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your first step oftentimes will affect, you know, determine God's next step.
Right, right.
If you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. It's your inheritance. If you're a believer and you know God, don't settle for a quarter visit, a month looking, or just temporarily glancing in it. But develop a plan. Get a plan and stay consistent, and you're going to see God move powerfully in your life. You can get a plan at iAbide. That's iabide.org. iAbide.org. And get ready. Get ready for God to change your life as you read his word, the flawless word of God. We'll be right back.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, we know we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
Wow, you're probably listening to VFN Radio and you want to be part of the end time harvest. Well, I want to encourage you. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network University is for you, vfnu.org. This is a great opportunity for you to be raised up and to get anointed teaching. Listen, this is a wonderful time to be equipped. This is fresh revelation for where the church is going. Don't sit around and wonder, how can I be a part? Listen, this is for you. This is now. Get ready. Vine Fellowship Network University, vfnu.org. Come on and be a part of the end time harvest.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen. Get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
You know, I think about, you know, I'm going to get a chance today. I'm going to be able to be in Marianna a little while and spend some time with Jack and Shelley Hollis, and which I love dearly. And Jack talks about, he has a teaching that he pastors there in Marianna, and also he has a large spiritual family of ministers that he and Shelley are the spiritual parents of. Just they're just blessed. It's a blessed family.
That's cool.
And but he teaches a message called Hero, but you got to hear Jack say Hero. He says it much better than me. But the one thing he talks about heroes are not made. You know, everybody's trying to make a hero, but heroes just happen. And you're going down the road, this is an example that he gives. You're going down the road, and all of a sudden you see there's a fire, and somebody says, there's somebody trapped inside. There's somebody trapped inside. So the question is, you know, was that person a hero before that fire, before they heard about it, or did they decide at that one moment to be a hero? You know, so the guy runs in and rescues the dog, or he rescues the person, the kid, comes back out, and everybody goes, oh, there's a hero. Well, he wasn't a hero because he was made a hero. He saw a need at that moment, and he did what was required, and he at that moment, he became a hero.
Right.
You know, we think about this guard at the Family Research Council this Wednesday, you know, and everybody's declaring, you know, that this man, even the local police force, because he stopped this madman that was coming in there to kill somebody with his gun, and the security guard wrestles him. You know, wrestles him. You know, coming from law enforcement experience, we never wrestled anybody with a gun.
Did you say wrestle?
I think it was tournament.
Wrestle. I was just saying wrestle.
Well,
how do you spell that? Wrestle.
It's wrestle, by the way. It's wrestle.
Wrestle. Okay.
No, Russell. Russell. And so, but you know, in law enforcement, we're taught they have a gun. You verbally tell them to drop it if it looks like they're, you know. Hopefully they're not pointing it at you. If they're pointing it at you, then you just drop film.
Yeah.
But this guy wrestled this man with a gun. That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, can you see John wrestling somebody with a gun?
No.
No.
I will unwrestle the gun from his hand.
right. John would be going like, how are you doing today? That's a nice shirt to go. As he's walking his way behind the building, right? Yeah, no, that's right. It's called wisdom, man. And so, I remember I was making an arrest in the dark, and I was wrestling this particular man who was struggling with me and with addiction to crack cocaine.
Oh, great!
And on the road, and my name tag fell off, and the name tags have like two little barbs that go back in through your shirt, you know, like a military award type thing. And you got these pins on the back of it. Well, I'm wrestling with him, and he's all slippery and stuff, and my name tag falls off, and it hits the road, and so I kneel down on the road when I'm trying to hold him and put cuffs on him and all this kind of stuff, and I kneel down right on my name tag.
Ouch.
Oh, my goodness. You can't let go and rub your knee and go, owie, owie, owie. You're the police, right? So you don't get to that. But while I was wrestling him, gunshots started going off, and they started shooting at me. But all I could see, because it was dark, was the flash of the barrel coming out from behind the corner of a wall.
Wow.
And God protected me. I didn't get...
This wasn't the guy you were wrestling.
No.
Somewhere else.
This is actually somebody else, yeah. This is somebody that was in the dark, I guess, behind that house, and it was so dark, all you could see was the flash of the of the gun shooting. So I didn't have time to see drop the gun. I just had to depend on God because I was arresting somebody that I was, you know, I didn't have a backup or anything. Mm-hmm. And wow. God kept me from being shot that night, even though it was just that person.
Wow, praise God.
You know, two suspects and one of them firing at me and not one bullet touched me. Isn't that amazing? God is so good.
Wow. He is very good.
That's awesome.
God is so good. And it was so sad because the man that was addicted to the crack cocaine was a husband, a father. He had a good job, but he got he messed with the drugs and the drugs got a hold of him and he lost everything. He lost everything. It was so sad. And when I did arrest him and he finally gets past his high and all that, he looks at me and he goes, "Thank you." He thanked me for stopping the cycle of madness in his life. But it was very sad. I mean, he lost everything. I mean, don't mess with drugs. But anyway, so heroes, they're not made. They just happen. Like the security guard decided to wrestle a gun. You know, like I was saying that, you know, normally people would just, an officer would shoot somebody with a gun. But instead he wrestled the man with the gun. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's only done by actors in the movie, by stunt people. It's not a wise thing to do, you know.
No.
But he's a hero. You think about the guy who saw the lady or the man, whoever it was, fall and the baby stroller go into the subway tracks or the train tracks. Mm. And he jumps down there and they rescue the baby. And he wasn't a hero when he showed up waiting for the train, but he became a hero at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say hero like Jack. You got to hear it. Matter of fact, we got to find that. I want everybody to hear Jack say hero. It's beautiful. I love it. He's so encouraging.
How's he say it?
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Nobody can do it justice, huh?
I can't do it justice.
Yeah, multiple syllables.
I don't know. Jack, can you call Pat and let him know? Multiple syllables.
Pat, you want to try?
Like, Pat doesn't have a southern accent. You know what I'm saying?
Well, James, I was thinking that you ought to be the...
Anyway, moving on. Moving on.
Is that finger moving again?
No. I get the forehead thing. And so, with that, you know, so people say, well, everybody keeps looking for a hero.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a hero. Everybody's looking for a hero. You know, and Billy Graham, you know, he did what he was supposed to do, and he did it well. He was and is a hero, but he's coming to the end of his responsibility. You know, Oral Roberts, a hero. You know, Steve Hill was and is still a hero. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, this generation keeps looking for a hero instead of realizing you are the hero. You're supposed to do something. Quit looking for other people. If somebody's burning up in a house, quit looking for a firefighter who hadn't got there yet. Go rescue them. When you see a nation falling down, don't go look for a politician. You rise up yourself and say, I'm going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to be the next generation's hero and say, listen, even if it costs me my life, this is just the right thing to do. And you say, well, I haven't been trained how to be a hero. And you don't get trained to be a hero. You just see injustice and you do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You see something wrong and you say, this is not right. David was just carrying cheese and bread to his brothers. And he looked at this thing and he saw people hiding, as we were talking about earlier this week or yesterday. He saw all of God's people hiding out behind the rocks and he saw this giant threatening them. And that day he decided that it wasn't something I'm going to be a hero. He just did what heroes do when you have to be one. He says, like, is there not a cause?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what America needs right now, America needs heroes, not Fig Newtons of people's imagination, not actors, not images of heroes. They need somebody who's going to get in the trenches and is going to be steadfast and stable. And listen, this could be you. Think about it. You can go around and begin to see injustices and you can do something about it. You can be the one who rescues the child from the situation. You can be the one that says, you know what? If nobody else is going to shepherd God's people the way God wants to shepherd God's people, God, I will shepherd your people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will fight for them. I will train them in the ways they should go. I will disciple them. I will love them. I'll protect them. And I'll launch them into the great expectation you have for them. That's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a hero. You know, and what the church needs right now, the church needs heroes.
Mm.
You know, our past heroes served us well.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this next generation, we're going to need a lot of heroes.
Yeah.
And how many people, you know, they might not even know who that person is, but that one person in their life is a hero because they stood for them. Mm-hmm. They were there in the rough times. They were there in the tough times. They were there when things, when everything was turning against them, you didn't turn against them. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend is born for rough times, and he will be there with you through all those times. It's not about being a hero to the world. It's about being a hero to that one person who needed you to rescue them.
Mm-hmm.
To rescue them from the situation, to rescue them from religion, to rescue them from captivity and from sexual sins and pornography and the lust for power and money, to rescue them from this religious junk that's got mm-hmm. them on a treadmill of nothingness, going nowhere and doing it very slowly, as a matter of fact. You know, it's about being a hero.
Yeah.
And it's just time, you know, I think about, you know, Pastor Kichara and VFN Klein. You know, oh, she's yeah. got, you know, a group on her, she started there to be able to encourage mothers,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and it's called Supermom, you know,
yeah.
and it's got Supermom, and she has where people in her community and all that's, you know, getting together, and she's challenging, you know, to be heroes for mothers, to help mm-hmm. them out, say, hey, you can make it through this,
yeah,
you know, and, you know, from our past where we saw injustices with the fatherless situations and
that's right.
and all that, we just stood up, you know, just responded to the situation at hand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And right now, listen, we need heroes in every state. We need heroes in every county. We need heroes in every city. Listen, everybody in that city should know you're in it and that you love God.
That's right.
There should be
right.
nobody in that city. I mean, if Tim Tebow, one guy who does his job with excellence, and this is a prerequisite to be known that you, you know, you don't do your job lousy
right.
and then stand up for God. I'm sure God's going, psh, don't bring me up. Don't bring me up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Say, oh, no, please don't use my, oh, great, great, great. But, you know, do your job well. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously not perfectly, but, you know, be a person of integrity, you know, and if you did something wrong, try to make it right. And if you sure. can't make it right, you know, repent for it. But everybody in that city should know that you know God.
Mm-hmm.
They should know that you know how to find God. They should right. know that if they needed encouragement, they can come to you.
Right.
And there should be a lot of you, a lot of heroes over that city.
Mm-hmm.
And when heroes get together in that city, they don't wave some badge of hero. They just share about their stories of rescuing people and mm-hmm. helping people and speaking into leaders' lives and encouraging those that are shepherds and talking about those that have been snatched from the fire like a coal from the fire. And it's just war stories, if you would.
Yeah.
You know, about just rescuing people.
Right.
And
that's so awesome because, you know, you see a tragedy and you see something happen and how many times people are paralyzed, you know, and they say, what do we do? What do we do? And that one person steps up at that moment and says, look, do something. Do something. They're dying. And that person steps up and you're just like, and so they ask, are you a hero? It's like, no, I just responded. I think about New York, this little girl who fell out of a four-story window. She was dangling out of a window and this man was down there at the bottom and she actually fell. And when she fell, he caught her, broke her fall, and this little girl could have just died. So they ask him, you know, are you a hero? And he says, I'm not a hero. And when really he was a hero, because I just responded.
There it is. That's
and,
it.
And that's a hero. That's what a hero does. What I hear you saying, that a hero responds. A hero is revealed at that moment. What would happen if we all woke up and said, you know what, I'm not going to be in the crowd and just look at it. Because there were other people there, but he was the one to stick his arms out. He was the one to say, I'm going to break her fall. I'm going to do it. And what I hear you saying is that, just go for it. Stick your arms out. Get in the middle of it and said, you know, if it's up to me, it's up to me. I'm going to be one to stand in the gap.
Yeah, and that's true. And the thing is, you can either be popular or powerful, but you can't be them both.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to give up popularity when you decide to be powerful in somebody else's life, to be able to be there for them and rescue them. And the only person that may ever know that you are a hero is the one who is grateful that you rescued them and led them to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but God knows and they know, and that's what we were supposed to do anyway. And don't worry about being popular. Worry about being powerful at mm-hmm. the time that you need to be able to do that. And I think about on the VFN Torch where, John, you're talking about the power that God has given us.
Mm.
You know, you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and up in the right-hand corner, you can type in any keyword, type in the keyword power. And mm-hmm. listen to that segment, you know, talking about how much power we have to be able to rescue somebody with the power of the gospel, you know, speaking into someone's life. And that's just so important. But heroes, we need heroes. And everybody's watching the past generation heroes come to the end of their responsibility, and it's like the world is stuck right now, and everybody's trying to live off what was instead of being the heroes that we need today. We need heroes today. We need people to say that, you know, America is a shining hill again, a shining city on a hill again. We need people to say that that you know, the church is not built by human hands. It's not brick and mortar. It's people and human beings, and that how we treat the church and how we encourage the church to know and to love God and to obey God is so relevant and so important. Those are called heroes. You know, David Wilkerson, a hero, but now he's with God. And it's going to take people to rise up. You can't just rise up with a good idea, but you rise up at a present situation after being trained up in the things of God and saying, you know what? You know, I'm going to do something about this.
That's right.
I'm going to do, and if it only matters to the one that I'm helping out, so be it. But I'm not going to sit back. Like happened, I think it was over in England, where a homeless man fell face first in the water while people stood around and just watched him drown.
Wow.
And they call rescue with their cell phones, and while they're watching him, nobody's helping him. Then the people come out. The people come out who are going to rescue them, and they start getting dressed with contaminant suits. And in the contaminant suits, because there's a policy that said, you know, that you could be contamination in the water, so you got to put these suits on, these gloves on. It's like the man's drowning.
Right.
And they all were thinking all about themselves, and they never understood that's a human being face down in that water. And this is today's generation. It's like everybody's detached from the reality, and they're waiting for Superman to show up and fly in there and to rescue them with all these little hero movies going on, not realizing that those are just movies and actors. And, you know, I'm not saying anything against actors, but the reality is they get stunt people do the tough stuff.
Right.
You know, they're just pretty boys and pretty women, you know, but they're not the real deal. It's an image made to look by. They're acting like a hero, you know, and we don't need any more people acting like a hero.
Right.
You know, and more people will buy into an actor. It's amazing. Just be one. You know, normally heroes are more rugged. They have their, you know, rough edges, and they're not, you know, as pretty as the world would want them to be, but they're your hero. They're your hero, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're sitting, you're our video fan, radio listener, you're listening and you're being encouraged, you know, day after day, and you're seeing what's going on, and you've been hearing the reports, and you feel like yourself, you want to be that hero. You're tired of sitting in maybe a with a group of other believers that are just talking about it and are looking towards maybe one hero. You can be a hero. You can be trained up for this end time move of God, and you can be a part. If you're interested in becoming a hero for God, a hero in sharing the power of the gospel that really brings true change in people's lives, people are suffering. They're suffering these days. They're in depression. There's so much calamity in the face of the earth, and they're trying everything they can to change. A better diet, a better workout, a better job, a better marriage, another home, another car, maybe if we have a baby. The only thing that can bring true transformative change in someone's life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus can change your life. And if you want to bring that hope, you want to be a hero to a group of people, or maybe just to one person, you want to be raised up and trained up, maybe VFNU is for you, Vine Fellowship Network University. And you can find more information at vfnu.org. Be trained up and be a hero for the move of God.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh my goodness. Hears from God. You know, she learned to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey's being blessed, the Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed, and so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
We're going to go right into the word of wisdom. The moment of wisdom today is going to be from Proverbs chapter 22. And we're going to begin to look at, you know, in this moment of wisdom, you know, God's perspective, God's wisdom in regards to the poor. You know, I just had a chance before coming in the studio today to go spend some time with Kathy.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
She's preparing today to be able to go into the streets to feed the homeless. And she had people all over her house, you know, Streets and Lanes Ministry, making sandwiches, had all these bowl hot dogs.
Wow.
And, you know, it was just beautiful to see that. And, you know, we got to have her on the air to be able to share, you know, what is God's perspective of the poor?
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
In Proverbs 22:2 says, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them both.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it,
mm-hmm.
that it's so important that, you know, we understand that every human being was created by God.
Right.
And so if that human being that God loves is suffering injustice, if they're hungry, if mm-hmm. they're homeless, you know, God's concerned about that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he's made you both.
That's right.
You know, and you think about also in Proverbs 22:9, he says, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor.
Mm, right.
So God makes the poor man and the rich man,
mm-hmm.
the poor woman and the rich woman. And that a generous man is blessed because he actually shares his food with the poor man. And Proverbs 19:17 says, he who is kind to the poor lends to God, and he will reward him for what he has done. We're getting mm-hmm. a perspective of poverty here and poor
mm-hmm.
and how God's perspective is. And finally, in Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will lack nothing.
Mm.
But he who closes his eyes, and this is what I'm talking about, to them receive many curses.
Mm.
It's so important for us to understand that God has made the poor, everybody on the face of the earth. And so if you have, you're looking at two people here, you're looking at a man walking in a three-piece suit,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's walking down, you know, Manhattan Avenue or the Avenue of Americas or something. And, you know, he's dressed nice. He's got a nice watch on, you know, he's a metrosexual, you know, as they call him, you know, all dressed up and stuff like that. Pat's looking at me like, what? John can explain it in the city. You know, in other words, he actually, you know, probably waxes his eyebrows or something, you know, some weird stuff. You know, he fixes himself up.
We're not saying you're weird if you wax your eyebrows, though, but you know.
Oh, I didn't know you waxed your eyebrows.
It's on my Pat.
Oh, Pat. Oh,
I don't think so.
That is Bush's man. He is. And everything.
I can't wax these buddies.
He's just a weed eater. A weed whacker. That's a weed
whacker. I do.
And so, you know, and so you see this man that's in his full dress, or a woman in her full dress that she could be, you know, in Vogue magazine or something. And she's got all these, you know, Louis Vuitton type stuff, purses and dresses and, you know, whatever. And she's beautiful, but she passes by, and he passes by this man who's sitting there with his elbows on his knees. He's looking down. He's lost his apartment, and things are coming to an end in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, what the culture has told us is that these are two different people and God thinks differently about them. Right. So much mm-hmm. so that these two people who could probably finance that apartment, you know, had no obligation in the eyes of God to be able to find out what was wrong in this man's life.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the truth is, that's not God's perspective. And we want to find out, you know, God's made them both. And so when you think about it, this is what I think about. I think about Lazarus and the rich young ruler, you know, and mm-hmm. Luke, you know, when he's talking about it, when Jesus says this, he says, listen, he describes this very scene. Mm-hmm. He said, there was a rich man who was dressed in a three-piece suit. No, he was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day,
mm-hmm.
most of America.
Right.
And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores. He had like sores on his body and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people just walked past the situation not realizing God made that man?
Right.
And that's what Mother Teresa says. I see the face of Jesus in these folks, mm-hmm. you know, in the suffering. And this is Jesus talking.
Wow.
And he says, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side.
Mm-hmm.
The rich man also died and they buried him. You notice that the Lazarus was carried and the rich man was buried.
Mm.
Interesting, isn't it?
That is.
In hell, where he was tormented, he was looking up. This is the rich man. He's being tormented now in hell. And he looked up and he saw Abraham far away. And Lazarus was right by his side. This very guy that he passed every day was right by his side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water in the cool and touch my tongue with this cool water because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things.
Mm.
Remember, you've already got your good things already. While Lazarus received bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm. It's been fixed, so we can't even pass back and forth to see each other. Then he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied this, they have Moses and the prophets. Mm-hmm. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead, it's Jesus, right? Someone from the dead goes to them, they'll repent. He said to them, if they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone is raised from the dead.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
How do you respond to the Lazarus in your community? America right now, with the innocent blood being shed, and how we're responding to the poor, we're telling them that they don't deserve medical treatment.
Mm, right.
We are like the richest country on the face of the earth, and we're justifying not providing for the poor. Mm-hmm. And it's like we've got to readjust and get God's perspective. I just want to encourage you today as we're closing out in Proverbs 22:2, and the word of wisdom today is rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.